Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Speaking of getting the word out about Catholic Sports Radio, if you have a business, product, or service that you need help getting noticed for, Merchantside Marketing Group is the company that built the CatholicSportsRadio.net website for me, but they do also offer services such as social media and Google advertisements. We're talking about custom-designed ads and hands-on management. They will help you get on Google, Bing, Facebook, Instagram, or anywhere that your prospects go. Get in touch with them to talk about what you would like to get in front of more people and learn about how they can help you reach your advertising goals. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, click on where it says award-winning custom-built websites, only $99 a month, to visit their website and contact them. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The Tampa Bay Lightning got swept in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2019 after being far and away so much the best team in the league in the regular season that they actually tied the all-time NHL record for most wins in a single season. But what came from getting knocked out of the postseason via four straight defeats was a different perspective. They saw what they needed to change. It's all about perspective. Something good came of that. Something good came of getting swept in the first round. They realized that they needed to do something different. They changed up their play. The next year, they won the Stanley Cup. The year after that, they won the Stanley Cup again. So when we look at something that we think is bad, it can really lead us to gratitude. My cousin and his wife were told that their daughter had spinal muscular atrophy at the time she was born, and that, as a result, she would only live to the age of 2. We should look at our own lives and say, wow, I take for granted every day that I'm healthy, that my legs work, that my arms work, that I can walk and talk. We shouldn't take it for granted. We should be thankful to God for that. Because guess what? My cousin and his wife are grateful to God every day that their daughter, in November, is going to turn 17 years old. In Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Give thanks to him, bless his name, good indeed is the Lord." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the Vice President for Athletics at De La Salle High School, a private Catholic school for boys in California. He started there as Assistant Athletic Director in 1999, before taking over in 2006 as Athletic Director. He is an alumnus of the school and has also coached boys golf as well as basketball there. He is also both the founder of the Catholic National Athletic Association and the commissioner of the East Bay Athletic League. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Leo Lopez.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for making time to do this. I'm guessing that maybe you've figured out how to get more than 24 hours in the day, what with all that you're doing that I just read off, which I should add to by saying that as Vice President for Athletics at De La Salle High School, you're overseeing, I think, is it 15 sports?
14 CIF and our club rugby, because rugby is not a CIF sport in California.
Amazing. Amazing. On episode 77 of this show, my guest was Frank Alaco, who won 17 league championships and 2 Division I state championships in 18 years coaching basketball at De La Salle. And then on episode 87, my guest was Bob Latassur, who coached football for 35 years at De La Salle and was part of a national record 151 consecutive victories, which became the subject of a major motion picture. Leo, in our Catholic faith, we strive to treat everyone equally, to love one another and do unto others as we would have them do unto us. When you have coaches, athletes, programs that are having the kind of success that Frank Alaco had and that Bob Latassur had, How do you resist the temptation to get caught up in all that excitement and not show favoritism so as to avoid the risk of slighting other programs, other coaches, other student athletes at the school?
You know, it's interesting you say that, and I'm just kind of smiling a little bit. For me, it's always been, not for me personally, but just our school. The mission is to provide our students the best opportunities for whatever opportunities they want to pursue. So, you know, I'm thinking back, rugby, lacrosse, additional levels of programs and other sports. I feel that we are have a holistic approach here where we're focused on the student athletes and their journey and providing whatever is necessary. So I don't think it's a question of getting caught up in what sport, one sport. I think that's what makes us unique. If there's a demand for badminton, we've looked to find a way there. We have an ice hockey club team. So I think with all our success, I feel that every sport has their opportunity to be who they want to be and why they want to be that way. It's definitely within the LaSalle mission to educate the mind, body, and soul. And not everyone's going to be a football player. Not everyone's going to be a tennis player. Not everyone's going to be a golfer. So it's important to understand and respect each individual student athlete's journey and every coach's needs and wants, and take that in consideration. Nothing's perfect, as we know, you know, in the world. And some sports are able to achieve goals quicker or easier than others. But I feel like there's a lot of equity within our program, and I would hope that our student athletes and our coaches feel that way. That's kind of, you know, I don't know if that kind of clarifies that, but I haven't really got involved in that. Some sports obviously take more work and effort than others. Some are smaller, larger, some are more complex, but ultimately when the day is done, we want every student athlete to have a great experience and every coach to think that their time was served to help make the kids graduate as a man of faith, a man of scholarship, and a man of integrity.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. And I love that you put it in the context of the mission of the school, because you're right. If someone is coming there for a Catholic education and there's no athletics involved, well, they deserve the same chances that the football players are getting, or the basketball players, or the rugby players. And so I like that you kind of take that global view of it and say everybody does deserve the same opportunity, whether they're an athlete or not.
Yeah, no, I really believe wholeheartedly that when you enter De La Salle High School, you might think you're one thing or another thing, but then ultimately every student's journey here is going to lead them to what's best for them. Some are going to be high-level students and, you know, not an athlete. Some are going to be students and pursuing badminton. I don't know, you know, and it could change two times over. I think that's a great process that we all have gone through when you go through high school, and at the same time as our next incoming freshman class will find out that, you know, where you start is not necessarily where you think you're going to finish and where you want to finish, and just enjoy the journey. I let our students know that it goes quick, as we all know, once you've gone through it once, and just enjoy every day.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to remember that, as we've talked about so many times in other episodes of this show, you're shaping young men for their lives. It's not so much about shaping them as athletes. Do you hope that they go on and have success in athletics? Sure, that would be great. However, it's more about turning them into good Christian young men that are going to have a good foundation for their life, and not putting all of the emphasis on making them a better athlete.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, obviously I'm biased because of my background and where I'm going, but in the overall picture, I really do believe when you stick to whatever the mission is, and obviously most Catholic schools are in alignment in many ways, right? They might say it a different way, you know, or proceed to get to the end goals in a different way, but all Catholic schools are trying to become and produce young men and women that are going to make a difference in the world, and that, you know, that mission driven philosophy is kind of probably why I'm still in the same spot, you know, for this many years. It's the intrinsic reward in the journey is probably more important than the actual extrinsic reward you get in the end. And how you make a difference for others is huge. So yeah, it's been a real good ride for me, and I'm excited to start the next school year.
Okay. To that point though, even at the high school level, not to mention at a Catholic high school, the sports programs are still a business, so to speak. Maybe not to the extent that the major pro sports leagues are, but the point still is someone in your position is going to be measured by things like the success of the sports programs. Is it easier to manage the demands and the stress of a job like yours because you're in a Catholic environment?
I don't know if the word easy, easy is a good word. I think with every school, even Catholic, I'll just stick to the Catholic a lens at this point in time. Every school has its unique dynamics, and I think there are ways, definitely there are some built-in advantages to being successful at a Catholic school, not just in athletics, but in athletics, you have people that have chosen to go to that school for the most part, or they're bought in to the mission, service learning components and faith and spirituality and academics and all the things that come with being a student athlete here at DeLaSalle High School. It's not a hard sell, right? Some of these kids are looking forward to coming to this school their whole lives. You know, they went to a Catholic grammar school, local, their mom and dad, alum. So we're getting, you know, we're a young school. We're, I believe we're closer to 60 years old now, and it's, but some schools are ingrained across the country hundreds of years old, right? Or, you know, and I think when you get that, you're able to achieve more. You're also able to figure out which families want to be here. So we don't have some of the hurdles that other schools may or may not have. If it doesn't work for somebody, I mean, to each of their own, right? And there's attrition. You know, our freshman classes start bigger and obviously always graduate smaller. And that's between moving decisions to go to other schools, all that stuff's a factor. So, yeah, there are some built-in advantages. From a business standpoint, you know, I think I would attribute our success to sticking to the old school mentality of focusing on student athletes, focusing on a well-rounded education. And I think we've been able to stay out of the fray, despite the fact that I will recognize that what we've accomplished athletically is, you know, very difficult to emulate and compare to. If you look just on paper, what we've been able to achieve collectively as an athletic department is phenomenal. You know, and sometimes we don't really take enough time to kind of recognize our own achievements because we're a let's keep going, what's next sort of school, right? Mm. You know, and I think that, you know, most people would probably define me as one of the hardest critics, you know, for our programs, in the sense that it's, I really believe in critical evaluation, seeking feedback, constant reminders of who and what and why and where we're going, and of course tweaking, right?
Yeah.
You know, listen, even just with COVID alone, we're not going to ever function the same thing as we did before COVID. There's a lot of things we learned from COVID that we're going to keep. I mean, there's a lot of things we learned from Coach Lattiser that will never change. You know, he's been removed for, you know, how many years now as head coach. So I think our tradition, our dedication to excellence, our commitment to certain pillars of who we are and where we want to be with our student athletes is going to continue to push us to a level that, you know, maybe we don't even know about. And I think rest assured we can walk away knowing we're far from perfect, but we're definitely giving full effort at all times for our student athletes.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Let's go back to the beginning and learn about your early years. I mentioned in the intro that you did attend De La Salle for high school, but were you born in California? And for that matter, what was the family size? And presumably you are a cradle Catholic?
Yeah, oh, for sure. You know, just to, in short, my parents were, they immigrated from the Philippines. They came, both chemical engineers, and they ended up in New Jersey, which is where I was born.
Ah.
Yeah, believe it or not, all the way from the Philippines to New Jersey.
Wow.
And then we ended up back in California. I have two brothers younger than me, but we ended up back in California to start the California side of my life. I think I was in second grade. They just wanted to get out of the cold. It was a kind of a culture shock going that direction. So they had some opportunities professionally, and so that's, long and short of it, that's kind of where it was. Catholic grammar school, truthfully, you know, especially in my family's culture, you know, going to Mass, being part of Catholic service, all that stuff, that one would presume some of the characteristics of what one would kind of perceive as the traditional Catholic family was where we were kind of going with this. My dad told me I was going to DeLaSalle High School, you know, the minute he moved back, you know, the minute we moved to California. So I kind of knew I didn't really have a choice. Everything from confirmation, you know, I can remember the altar server days, all that stuff that, you know, I think made me who I am today. I mean, right now it's 8:20. I'm almost guaranteeing my mom's at Mass somewhere.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, she's part of the Oakland Diocese choir, you know, something that she, you know, served, all the stuff that I believe the Catholic Church stands by and is great has been part of my life. I'm not the perfect Catholic. I'm not going to sit here and say that, but I do believe it's important. And I do believe it's a guiding light on how I've made decisions and where I've gotten to where I am today. So, you know, my wife comes from a fully Catholic family, all educated and grown up, and alumni from high schools and grammar schools like that. So it's just, it's for me, it's kind of what I know, and it's probably has determined and dictated some of the decisions that I've made as an adult.
What about sports as a young boy? What sports did you play, and to what extent?
I was just a normal kid who played a lot of different sports, and I was just a normal kid in high school. No fanfare, baseball, basketball, you know, I had no fanfare, nothing big. I actually ended up coaching in high school my senior year because I wasn't playing any sports at that time, and I needed to have an outlet. And a buddy of mine was doing like a service project for, I don't know what school it was, but he wanted to coach a youth team, and he asked me if I would just help out. And from there, I kind of got the itch to continue to coach basketball. I went to St. Mary's College, and that's when Coach Alaco asked me to coach with him. So we got connected that way, and that's kind of how I began coaching basketball.
Okay.
I learned through Coach Alaco.
Wow.
So I was going to St. Mary's College as a student, and I was working at the LSL High School with him, for him. And long and short of it, as an alum, a job opened up, and I graduated, and, you know, they asked me if I wanted to be assistant athletic director. It was all happenstance, really. You know, it wasn't really anything that I, you know, I didn't wake up in the morning as a freshman in high school thinking I wanted to be this position 25 years later. You know what I mean? I think what's drawn me to, what drew me, obviously, human interaction, team, competition, all the stuff that we all love in athletics. But I've always been, the community of DLSL has always been good to me in different ways. I felt comfortable. I felt the ability to grow. I've always felt the ability to be who I am. Obviously, the faith-based component is a big deal. You mentioned earlier, what are some of the advantages of DLSL? I mean, one of the advantages of being at DLSL High School is I'm surrounded by people that for the most part, are on the same page in terms of my morals and values, you know, and that's a comforting feeling, as I think most people would agree with.
Yeah.
You know, a defining moment in my life was, you know, you're going to laugh, but I took the job because the summers were off. My dad was all over me to get a job after college, and I was able to I wanted to go to Europe for my 2 summers after I graduated, just travel, you know, and learn and live. And I was able to do that and still have a full-time job. So I lived at home, saved some money, and a couple of years later, I was pretty much done. I thought I was, you know, I think I felt like I had served, given back to the community, learned a lot of valuable skills, and understood the nonprofit side and mission-driven sort of profession. And, you know, at that point in time, let's see, what was I? That was early 2000s, late 90s. That's when the Google world, Facebook was exploding around here. And I was fully driven to get my MBA and go that way. But I'll never forget the moment. I was schlepping barricades around, setting up for a football game, all pissed off, you know, in the hot sun. And then Coach Lattiser popped out of the, I don't know where the heck he came from. It was like a vision. He just showed up and just said, "You'd be really good at this job. You should really look into staying in this profession."
Wow. Wow.
You know, and then, long and short of it is, I got my master's degree in health, physical education, and recreation, committed to coaching, teaching, athletic administration, and got my master's degree, and kind of the rest is history.
Fantastic.
You know,
wow.
And, you know, even the sport of golf, I was forced to be the head golf coach by Terry Edson because we didn't have any. You know how that goes. In some situations, high school, it's like we have nobody to coach. Guess who the next coach is? And so I knew nothing about golf, I mean, other than going once in a blue moon playing with some buddies. But I learned, for me, I learned I was focused on team sports stuff. I learned how to work in an individual/team sports setting. I learned a lot in that infusion. So again, sort of happenstance, but I also learned there's a lot of consistencies that no matter what you're doing under the Catholic umbrella, you still have an opportunity to continue to develop. If it's golf, if it's esports, if it's teaching, you know, computer applications like I did back in the day, or even economics, there's always a way in the Catholic Church to do something better on a daily basis for others.
And that's tremendous.
It's been different venues that I never would have I could have never predicted, yeah. You know, when I was going here. I had zero desire in high school to work in this world and be part of Dallas High School.
And God had other plans for sure. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, in case you are not aware, in his role as vice president for athletics at De La Salle, Leo, I guess you would say, unfortunately, is in a position of having to be on the front line with coaches being fired and having those difficult conversations. Does it help to be in a Catholic environment then? I don't know. But before I ask him to comment on that, whether you are a first-time or a long-time listener, this is my ministry, Catholic Sports Radio. I mentioned last week that one of the goals in doing this is trying to reach more people and move them in their faith life, whatever that looks like. Fallen away from the church, or a going through the motions, checking the box Sunday Mass attendee, or even those who are on fire for their faith, or maybe somewhere else on or off the path. In doing the work that I do for the kingdom, however, it's just me. There's no staff around me. This isn't a paid job that I was hired to do. God called me to this, and I've tried to remain obedient to that. Quite frankly, I'm humbled to have been called to be the one in this seat helping you hear the testimony from all the guests on this show week after week, month after month, etc. I don't, however, get any income from doing this, so all the expenses, unfortunately, have to come out of my own pocket, which I have admitted does get challenging. I have cited specific examples of a lot of those different costs on a number of other episodes. So if you feel that what I'm doing is making an impact and that you believe in my ministry, you like Catholic Sports Radio and feel it's helping your faith life, you think it's a good resource to help others in their faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution. I have sometimes referred to it as a form of tithing and can tell you that there are two ways that you can bless this show with financial assistance. You can do it securely online through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast and easy to do, and you can contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down of amounts to choose from when you utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. You put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead send in a check through the mail. Just go to the contact section of the website to send a message to ask for the address to send it to, and I will personally email you back with the information for where you can mail your check. Your contribution will greatly help me with the expenses that I'm referring to that come with operating the Catholic Sports Radio ministry. And I'll happily even say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big, and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it, and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Leo, let's have the conversation about the uncomfortable conversations that someone in your position has to unfortunately have from time to time with a coach when it's just not working out anymore and a change has to be made. Is it at all possible that it is any easier because it's a Catholic environment that you're all in? Or is it, you know what, Bruce, you're still about to tell someone that they're out of a job. So no, unfortunately not.
Let me just start off with a establishing staff and in this environment. You mentioned the business of athletics. It's complicated, and it's hard to find good people, if that makes sense, Bruce. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a struggle for me. The demands and expectations we have for coaches, I don't want to say are unruly, but they're definitely demanding. And it's really difficult to find people that can meet all the checkboxes that you want to try to get. Because ultimately, the common denominator is you want to provide coaches and coaching staff for the student-athletes that can help get the mission across and conveyed. I think you've mentioned firing a couple times. I mean, are you referring to like the difficulties of when those moments come? Is that what you're?
Yes. Yes.
I luckily have not had to do that often. You know, truthfully, does it happen? Yeah. It's more complicated now with social media, parent influence, different expectations. High school athletics is rapidly changing by a lot of other variables that have nothing to do with educational athletics, if that makes sense. Right now, you have the name, image, and likeness of the NCAA. I'm sure that's going to creep into high school at some point in time. You know what I mean? You have exorbitant salaries that people perceive in athletics, and athletics has become a business you know, a billion-dollar industry versus a passion, you know, or a hobby for some.
Mm.
So, you know, the dynamics are changing. So I think what you're going to find is you're going to find some haves and have-nots at certain schools, right? Whether you're Catholic or not, you're going to start seeing people make decisions on whether or not they're going to invest or whether or not they believe in educational athletics as a value and a vehicle to, you know, get to some end goals that they value.
Wow.
And so when you say firing, most schools aren't in a position to fire anybody. You know what I mean? Most schools are in a position to say, I will take you as an assistant coach for $1,000 stipend or no stipend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your time, your 10 to 15 hours a week with dedication. So I think the compassion, forgiveness, a lot of the pillars of the Catholic faith come into play.
Okay.
You know what I mean? From the heart.
Yeah.
However, going back to your quickly to the business side, it is a business. You know, their liability, risk, sensitivity to the student athletes' needs, you do have to balance that. I think it's more of a, it's not like you can get rid of a JV golf coach and think that 22 people are knocking on your door. You know what I mean? So there's that supply and demand scenario.
Okay.
I mean, even if you just can play or club soccer to De La Salle High School soccer, you're going to get paid more and probably work less coaching club soccer. That's a fact.
Wow.
You know, that's just the way it's going to. I'm not picking on soccer. It could be
most clubs
that way. But I think that so you're already kind of going over some hurdles. Do I think schools like De La Salle offer a little bit different motivation and enticements to want to work here? Yes. You know, when you're part of a winning organization, when you're part of a culture that believes in different things, that they're in alignment with their value system, that helps. When you have some natural advantages in terms of support and budget and, you know, all those things that can make or break a decision, I feel like the coaches here, it's a partnership with the school, and they want to be here, so they don't put themselves in positions to want that forced me to have to even have that conversation.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can name, like last year, I don't think I fired anybody, honestly. I don't think we did. The COVID's back in the last 2 years. You know, it's usually an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone just says it's just not the right fit. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not the right fit. So for me, the hiring and the, well, hiring is the complication. Firing is not that complicated. Because I think if you are in that position, I think both sides know it's coming.
Gotcha. Well, let's shift gears here and talk about the Catholic National Athletic Association, which I mentioned in the intro that you are the founder of. Share with the audience about that organization.
Yeah, the Catholic National Athletic Association is honestly in a corny basic mission. It's Catholic athletic administrators and coaches working together to help each other become the best they can be for their student athletes. The reason it was founded was because what I found and others will have been able to confirm is that, you know, when you work at a Catholic school, there's some unique qualities to Catholic education. And when you go to the general, let's say, athletic administrator conferences and coaches conferences, I always felt like I learned from a Christian high school, you know, person. I learned from a public school person, but it wasn't necessarily the Catholic view, and I didn't always necessarily feel 100% able to align and understand where they're coming from. Always can learn from anyone of any walk of life, for sure, but I always felt like when I talked to other Catholic schools, I got a little bit more, you know what I mean, and I was able to kind of exchange ideas, compare notes, just even to your previous subject, like how do you hire, how do you fire, all that stuff, right? So what I felt like one year, I just said, you know what, I'm going to try to get a bunch of Catholic high school athletic directors together. In Catholic fashion, I called it the Catholic retreat, right? Where we met, we stayed overnight, prayed, shared different philosophies. And then, you know, it was, I think there was probably, you know, somewhere around 18, 19 schools from all around California. We met in Lodi, California, believe it or not. St. Mary's Stockton athletic director then said, I'll host it, set it up. And we just chopped it up and realized that, you know, ultimately we can help each other become the best we can because we have the same sort of point of views, definitely in alignment with belief structure, definitely function the same ways, you know, team mass, team prayer services, all the things that Catholic schools use. Also just aligned by mission, you know, and that kind of spread from a local, regional, state to the Catholic National Athletic Association, because what I found was the same sort of sentiment is across the country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there's obviously already Catholic-only leagues across the country. There are a lot of Catholic schools that are on their own island. You know, if you go to the state of Montana, I believe there's one Catholic school.
Wow.
So it's kind of hard for that one Catholic school to, you know, it's not like you can walk across the street and go have a cup of coffee with another Catholic administrator.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so by affiliation and affinity, this organization has kind of grown from those sort of rudimentary fundamentals and has gone to where we are today.
That's great. That's great. And listeners, I will put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the website for the Catholic National Athletic Association so you can see more about them. Leo, I also mentioned back in the intro that you are the commissioner of the East Bay Athletic League. Do you get any time to step away from all these professional roles that you have and maybe participate in sports recreationally or as importantly, perhaps take part in activities with your parish and or go on mission trips or retreats or pilgrimages?
Yeah, I need to cut back on some activities. truthfully, I'm married. I have three kids. My daughter Madeline will be entering the sister school across the street at Carondelet. She'll be ninth grade. I have a daughter, Charlotte. She's seventh grade. My son Bennett's in fifth grade, and so that kind of lets you know where my timeline is right now in life. Mm. Long and short of it is, I do love to mess around and have fun. But obviously my passion is my family and kids first. I coach a lot of their sports right now, and I balance and juggle that. I was forced to take over being the athletic director at my kids' parish, Christ the King in Pleasant Hill, for basketball. So they're, you know, that's kind of a volunteer sort of get involved. So, you know, obviously my family consumes my time. But I also, I think God has put me here to help others. I begin to realize that, how do you want to be remembered? What's your dash? All those kind of cliches. Mm-hmm. That's my sweet spot, you know.
Mm.
I've had, like others, I've had multiple opportunities, and I always take a look at different situations. Where could I be and what could I be? Obviously, for me, when I put my values out there, I'm okay. Being busy is fine. I was just I was on vacation for the first time in a while with my family. For me, playing golf,
nice.
Obviously watching sports, just being with my friends and family. But, you know, like a lot of my friends and family, we're at youth games together, right, with our kids. So
yeah.
We're at dinner after a basketball game. So I have a busy schedule. The CNAA, just to be fully clear, is a hobby / passion like yourself. It's fully no one's getting paid. I don't really know where that goes down the line, but I do know that I feel good about creating something and bringing people together under the Catholic umbrella.
Amen.
You know, the last few years, and I hope it continues. And if somebody wants to take it from me down the line, I'm totally okay with that.
Mm.
The league commissioner thing, the position opened. They asked me if I'd put my name in the hat, and I did, and they selected me. So, yeah, it's busy. Eventually, hopefully, I get a little bit. It can slow down, but right now, I enjoy it. I don't really know any other way to function, you know. But I do think that I think ironically, as you said that out loud, everything that you mentioned was kind of a common denominator for me. Was me putting my time and effort to help others.
Mm.
You know, and I think that's the way I'm always want to live.
Yeah.
This point in time.
Yeah, answering
maybe
the call.
To a fault. maybe to a fault.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last and definitely not least, you've mentioned your wife a couple times. Please let us know her name and how long the two of you have been married for.
My wife's name is Megan, and we were married on March 19th, 2005. And so, yeah, what is that, 16 years
now?
Yeah. So, someone told me the other day, because I watch, you talk about hiring and firing. I watch a lot of coaches make decisions, and I always tell them, never jeopardize your family for coaching high school at Dallas High School, right? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Family first. Because it's a demanding job here. Whether you're assistant coach or head coach, you spend 20 hours a week with your second family. It's your first family should be taken care of. And to my wife, Megan, you know, she knew what she married. I actually coached her brother when I was in basketball.
Wow.
And so that's kind of how we met. So she understood where I was coming from. So I think that was a huge hurdle in terms of her understanding the demands of a coach / athletic administrator. You know, I think, Bruce, as you know, you've interviewed people. I'm looking at your website, there are a lot of people that you have interviewed. Their significant others have made a major impact on how they've been able to be successful.
That's right.
And who they are.
That's right.
And I wouldn't say anything different. I mean, her support and love and understanding. I mean, listen, I grind I'll tell you this. I wake up every day, and I believe that I'm going to be the hardest working athletic administrator in America. That's my goal.
Mm.
You know, and obviously, when I take vacation, that's not my goal. But, you know, if it's a work day, I just want to outwork the next person. I learned that from some of the best mentors I've ever had. And I think that there's no substitute to that. But unfortunately, with that comes, you know, some tricky home life, you know, navigation.
Yeah.
Right? And being able to coach my kids has kept me connected to them, obviously. Do I have to balance my schedule? 100%. Leaving and to go coach a practice, coming back to work, having my kids eat dinner, you know, in the locker room a lot of times, and having my wife understand that I got to miss certain things. Yeah, it's obviously, you know, like anything, a relationship's work, and she has definitely been there to support me and allow me to become who I have become. And I couldn't thank her enough. I know many people struggle, and I get why. So longevity and being able to be here and being having, you know, self-satisfaction and peace of mind for myself intrinsically and extrinsically has been mainly due to her in this time period.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I love your passion, Leo. And thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family. I do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. And my hat goes off to you, and I appreciate your dedication to Catholic athletics and how you're doing on sports radio. And as you mentioned, I know you're doing it because it's your calling, and I truly admire that and why you continue to do this, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you. And listeners, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. We haven't done this one in a little bit. We'll do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is @CathSportsRadio on all those, CATH, @CathSportsRadio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.